Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Pete Crow Armstrong.
What's up? I'm Pete Crow Armstrong. Now it's my time to shine.
I listened to your call of the home run of Pete two nights ago in the eighth inning, and that was pretty entertaining.
Pete Crow Armstrong leads off and drives one off the video board. It's like we're watching a movie starring Pete Crow Armstrong in this eighth inning.
The Pete Crow Armstrong movie in the eighth inning, that was really good.
Honey, it just kind of came to mind. It was almost like it was part of a fantasy, like a movie.
Here's a swing and a drive, deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Pete Crow Armstrong has homered again.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things.
Pete Crow Armstrong with Mully and Haw on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Time now to go out to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo Tire. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. And that's where we find the fastest Cub to get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in a season ever. And his name is Pete Crow Armstrong, and he joins us now. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Really good. How are you guys? What's going on?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us this morning. Congratulations on all the success you've had to this point. You heard the intro.
Thank you.
You heard the open. You heard that this is the movie that you were starring in. Who thought in a family full of actors that you would be the box office attraction?
I don't know. Not me. Probably my parents, though. I think they got pretty good judgment.
Let's talk about the success that you have had, and your parents, and all the people in your life and in your inner circle, Pete, because I imagine the success has come quickly, and this season has been so much fun to watch and I'm sure to experience. How difficult is it to stay humble amid all the hoopla?
I think hoopla is a very good choice of word, only because that's really all it is. I mean, I think it's nice, like, you know, when my only focus is showing up to the field every day and preparing myself to go play nine innings of baseball. I love the game, and I think that what I enjoy most is just, you know, my time spent, you know, here at Wrigley and all the hours that nobody really gets to see. I think I got no choice to be humble because this game is so hard. And you know, I think whatever success that I'm seeing right now is, it is new to everybody. And, you know, I want to be able to keep it going as best as I can this year. So there's no reason to get ahead of myself and think that this is anything more than just a little bit of success in the first half.
It is such a hard game, and you have made it look easy. And I know that it isn't. But just curious, from your perspective, maybe if there's something technical to explain it. Maybe it's just a lot of breaks going your way. But how do you explain why you've been able to make the jump this season as quickly as you have?
I mean, just having a year of experience, a year and some change, I guess, that's huge. And I think that, you know, just being able to know what I'm doing that much better is big. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I would say that I'm just growing up a little bit, and I'm really relying on a lot of good people around me to kind of steer me in the right direction, and that's what's worked. You know, I think there's a few things, you know, physically that I could probably attribute to, you know, certain success that we actually see with the bat. But like I just mentioned a second ago, I think it's more so the work behind the scenes and the work on myself that is playing the biggest part in any sort of success we see here.
Managers like Terry Francona have mentioned the elite bat speed, and other people have talked about your swing and how you have generated so much power for a guy that isn't, you know, imposing. You're big enough, you're strong enough, and you're athletic enough, but you wouldn't expect that you would be necessarily leading the Cubs in home runs if you looked at the around the clubhouse. To what do you attribute your burst of power, and have you made some technical changes with your swing that have made a difference?
I wouldn't say any real changes. I think the swing, you know, the swing is in a good spot, and it was in a good spot coming into the off season. But I think bat speed wise, I think I would have to go and say that I'm using a 34 now, mm-hmm. A 34 inch bat. So I think being able to move a little bit more mass at a really efficient, you know, or in a really efficient way, I would say that's probably why balls are flying a little further more regularly. You know, I just getting to be able to move a little bit of a heavier stick towards the baseball, I think is just, I'm no scientist, but I think that's why you're seeing more balls fly a little further.
We're talking with Cubs star outfielder Pete Crow Armstrong here on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Pete, today is a big day at Wrigley Field. We got news this morning that Sammy Sosa will be there. Introduced to the fans on the scoreboard, we believe, in the second inning. We'll be touring the facilities before that. As somebody who grew up, whose dad was a Cub fan, growing up locally and in the area, as a student of the game, what does Sammy Sosa being there today mean to you?
Shoot. I mean, I got to see him already this morning, actually, which was really nice. I think having him back is very important. You know, I think that, and I don't really know all that much about his journey over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years. But, you know, being a watcher of baseball, I think it's really hard not to appreciate what he did in a Cubs uniform. So I'm glad he's back. You know, it was nice to see him excited. At least that's what it seemed. And, I mean, the energy that guy has towards baseball and the enthusiasm he's got towards all of you know, our processes as current Cubs right now, it's awesome. You know, he's super supportive. And I think it's right that he's back in a place that he spent a lot of good years.
What were the circumstances that you met this morning? Where was it? And how surreal was it for you?
It was just right outside the clubhouse. I think it's, and this is not a knock at all, but I think it's gotten a little less of a wow moment as I've gotten to interact with him a little bit more. He really just kind of gives off a real feeling of love towards the game of baseball. Like I just said, his enthusiasm towards just talking about the game is amazing. And, you know, it's really cool seeing him every time, just because, you know, the first time me and him connected, he was super complimentary about, you know, my game. And that was before he had, you know, seen anything happen this year. And that was before I had a lot of, you know, a lot of anything to show for it. So, it means a lot hearing nice compliments from a guy like that, you know, when he did it so successfully for a while.
Pete, guys like me describe your approach on a daily basis as being someone who's charismatic or exuberant, maybe a tad bit flamboyant at times. How would you describe your style of play and what you bring to the ballpark each and every day?
I don't know if I'd say flamboyant. I don't know. I mean, I enjoy this, you know. And, you know, I've had times where it's hard to enjoy this. So I think, you know, this year, a part of the approach that you mentioned, like, I think showing up to the field, you know, ready to play is one thing, but showing up to the field wanting to get something out of the day here and, you know, being able to impact the 40,000 that give their time to us. I think there's just been more of an emphasis on that this year. You know, we play at a really special place, and I mean, my style of play, I think, fits here. You know, people love coming to the ballpark, and you know, that's just a great opportunity for me to go be myself and match that energy that everybody brings in. You know, I love competing, and I get the most out of myself when I want to go out and win ball games, and, you know, whatever that brings out of me, it brings out of me. But I think the best part about that is that it's all just authentic.
Well, you got Craig Counsell to smile and even laugh a little bit, so that's no small thing.
No, I got that guy busting out in belly laughs all the time.
How would you describe your relationship with the manager?
I mean, it's great. He's one of the best people I've been around in this game, no question about it. He's great. He's such a thinker, and I think that really benefits us when it comes to in-game situations. And you know, I think that benefits us in the clubhouse as well. When I think I can look at him and you know, see that we really got a guy who cares about us, and you know, he cares about the game as a whole, and, you know, the big picture that we're all playing for every day. So, I mean, Counts has done such a good job. I mean, dating back to last year when he started, he's just done such a good job of, you know, leading a really good Cubby team. And, you know, I'm glad that we're backing it up and backing him up a little bit better this year. And I think the relationship with Counts is exactly where I, you know, would want it to be if I was looking back a year ago wondering where I'd, you know, be at now. I think it's exactly where I'd want it to be.
We're talking with Pete Crow Armstrong here on The Score. Okay, so we need a clarification, Pete. You've been called a variety of nicknames, and just curious which one you prefer. Is it MV Pete? Is it PC Awesome? Is it Pete Crow All-Star? Which of these are better, or have you heard one that's even better than any of those?
I mean, my buddy's got some nicknames for me that I hear probably a little more regularly. Some are not so kosher. I like being called Pete, and I know that You know, PCA has kind of taken off over the last couple of years. I'm not the MVP. I am not an all-star yet. So,
slow down. Know,
if I say anything about it, I'll just say that I appreciate people associating my name with those kind of words and titles. I think that's really cool. But, nah, all that stuff, you know, it's becoming real to me, and it's not so bewildering and funny anymore. But it is really cool.
It's a great answer.
It is really cool.
Yeah, and I think your humility is coming through. And I'm just curious, so you help us also understand this. Your dad grew up a Cub fan, and as the story goes, the more you accomplish, the more people talk about you and getting into some of your past. Did you watch the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game growing up regularly as you were a young baseball player learning the game? Does that resonate with you? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way it went, according to mom and dad, was there was very few mornings when I did not go into their bedroom and wake them up asking to go play some baseball. That was, I guess that was my thing, was, you know, waking them up at early hours and saying, let's go play baseball. Danny Mueller just walked in here. I would go wake him up, tell him to go outside with me, and that would be that. But I do have a handful of memories. Yeah, sitting on the hardwood floor in the living room in front of the TV. And having them replay that game. I don't know what it was about it at that age that really, you know, resonated with me, but yeah, I was no stranger to that Kerry Wood strikeout game. And I mean, I think that was easy for my dad. I'm sure my dad made the choice to put that on a bunch just cause he was a Cubs fan. So,
yeah.
I think that's probably what makes the most sense in that. But, I mean, yeah, my dad was a Cubs fan, and, He is a bit of a baseball nerd, and I think that has definitely rubbed off on me as the years have gone on.
A lot of Cub fans hearing that will say, well, you were born to be a Cub, and they would want you to be here for the duration of your career. And I know that was part of the conversation earlier this season, Pete, when it came out that you guys were already talking about a contract extension, and that would be a big number. And just wonder, from a business perspective, you don't want anything to interfere with the progress you've made on the field, but how important is it for you to maybe lock up something long term so you are here for the duration of your career?
Well, yeah, I mean that's the goal. I think what's important to me is you know, being somewhere I feel convicted in winning it, and then obviously, you know, where I feel comfortable playing and living and all that for a long period of time. And, you know, I absolutely think that Chicago is the place to do that for me. And, I mean, yeah, I already take so much pride in being a Cub, and you know what comes with that. So, you know, any way that we can, you know, get me here for a while, I think would be ideal. And, you know, until then, I'm going to keep focusing on this year because, you know, I think I would take a World Series this year over anything else, if I'm being honest. And, shoot, I mean, I see myself doing that here for many years to come. So, yeah, I mean, that's always important, you know, thinking about what could be next, but only using that as a real drive, you know, in my pursuit of success, I guess, because the deal and the money is what it is. I like thinking about the years more than anything, and what signing that long-term deal could mean in terms of just any impact I have on this place.
Before we let you go, you said you're not an all-star, and technically you're not, but the numbers came out earlier in the week, and Pete, I'm sure you saw, there's only three players in baseball that got more votes than you did: Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, and Aaron Judge. What's it like to keep that kind of company?
I mean, that is definitely something that a younger version of myself would look back at and be very proud of. Those are three of the best baseball players of my lifetime. So it's cool. It's special, but you know, I think the coolest part about that is you know, I remember All-Star voting and whatnot when I'd go to Dodger games growing up, and it was getting close to the break, and they had all the ballots out there, and I'm sure they're probably just on like QR codes now, but I remember loving to vote for players that I wanted to see play, and I didn't really know no better, so I don't know if I was going off stats or what, or how much attention I paid when I was voting, but I mean, I have voted for Freddie Freeman in the past. You know, I have voted for, you know, guys that I just look up to. So, yeah, it's that's special to me that I am, you know, in the same conversation, because those guys have given me a really good blueprint to follow. You know,
gotta let you go, Pete. But if this is indeed, before we do, if this is indeed a movie starring Pete Crow Armstrong this year, how does it end?
Well, I would like the final credits to start in the beginning of November. I think that would be the best way to finish it off. I mean, I don't want to be the star of a movie, if I'm being quite honest with you. I would rather it be some funny montage of the whole team and what we've done as a collective. You know, I think that would be the ultimate reward. So that's how I'd want our movie to end here is sometime after October when we can, you know, spend a little extra time in Chicago having some fun celebrating something.
Well, you got quite a cast, and thank you for the drama so far. Best of luck the rest of the way. Thanks for joining us this morning, Pete.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Pete Crow Armstrong on Mully and Haw. That was fun. A lot of fun. Breaking news on the score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Jonathan Toews, Blackhawk legend, captain of all captains, Captain Sirius. He intends to sign with the Winnipeg Jets, according to Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic. Jonathan Toews to the Jets. Wow, big day in Chicago sports. A lot to react to. You want to keep it right here because Marshall Harris and Mark Grody at Gallagher Way back to wrap things up in a moment. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hot garbage might be an extreme way to look at what happened yesterday when Jameson Taillon could not get through clean innings and only gave 4 innings of work as the team that the Cubs were facing, the Milwaukee Brewers, escaped with a 2-game split. But today is a new day as we welcome you into Rahimi and Harris. Layla with the day off, so it's me, Marshall Harris, along with Mark Grody. And we are broadcasting live from Gallagher Way leading up to Cubs-Mariners here at Wrigley. Zach Zaman will do his pregame show from right here at Gallagher Way starting at 12:45, leading you up to first pitch. It's all brought to you by IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, here with the activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. Let's get the propers out of the way, if you will. We are being assisted by Ray Diaz back at the studio. Robbie Triano holding it down. Also, Connor O'Donnell, Brian Gertz, Rich Wyatt, C.S. Henderson helping us out with the Twitch feed out here at Gallagher Way, where they're about to let the people in. Hopefully they can stay dry because rain is in the forecast from what I'm being told, 10:30 to 12:30, which should end before first pitch. But the bigger news today is it is Sammy Sosa Day at Wrigley Field. Mark, Sammy Sosa is in the building. He's already talked to PCA this morning. I like that fusion and connection.
Yeah, there's going to be I'll just call it a Sammy Sosa energy in the ballpark today. I know that he's going to be in our radio booth with Pat and Ron and Zach in the fourth inning today of the ball game. So it'll be very interesting to hear Sammy Sosa and all his Sammy Sosa-ness during that interview. He'll be everywhere today. You'll see him everywhere, and we will certainly be talking about Sammy Sosa. It hurt me too, Marshall, to listen to the open of this show and to relive the ninth inning and the way that game ended yesterday, because guess what? The Cubs this season don't lose those games. In the games in which the Cubs are down big and they come back and they're within one run in the ninth inning, they win those damn games this year, and they didn't yesterday. There's nothing more excruciating than watching your team and they're down a run. It's the ninth inning, guy on base, and Seiya Suzuki hits a hard ground ball. Ian Happ out at second, Seiya out at first, PCA on deck. Ugh!
It might give you traumatic flashbacks to games in which you saw Sammy Sosa in the hole or on deck and the game comes to an end, because that's what it feels like when you see Pete Crow Armstrong right there. We know what his first at-bat was about as he hit his 20th home run of the season and become the fastest Cub ever to get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases. Who was faster before him? Oh, I'm glad you asked. It was Sammy Sosa back in 1994 when he did it. It took him 96 games. So PCA now on pace for a 44 season, tied for the fast fourth quickest route to getting to 2020. The funniest thing about the 2020 guys, the other guys he's tied with and ahead of him, they never made it to 40-40. So you wonder, can PCA be the guy to make it to 40-40 out of that group?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, assuming that this keeps up and there's still I'm pretty sure it's real, like the power part of this, Marshall, but it does, like, is he truly this now a 40 home run guy? Like, on the ever, like, I have a feeling he's going to have 40 home runs this year the way he's been, but is he truly that guy every year, or is this just an outstanding, spectacular season for PCA?
I'm going to give him time to grow. He's 23 years old.
We don't know yet.
If he hits 40 home runs this year, no one will complain, I can tell you that. That hasn't happened, I think, since Derek Lee did it back in the day. So there's that. But I want the callers and the texters to weigh in on this. 312-644-6767. We are not wasting time. We are taking your calls throughout because I want to know what people's feelings are about having Sammy Sosa now back in the building. We knew this was coming this season. The Cubs tried to spring a surprise on everyone by just having him show up for game one between the Cubs and the Mariners. And the Mariners are a team that are a game over 500, squarely in the race in the American League for a playoff spot. But now you've got Sammy Sosa, and as you said, that Sammy Sosa-type injury. How do you feel about Sammy Sosa? I know there are conflicted feelings, and I understand. On one hand, you say Sammy Sosa, he roided it up. He didn't do it, quote-unquote, the clean way. That's one vantage point. Sammy Sosa is a cheater. The other vantage point is Sammy Sosa did amazing things for the Cubs fan base. He did amazing things for Major League Baseball at a time in which Major League Baseball was suffering post-1994 and the work stoppage there. So there's two sides of that coin. Here's my stance on it, Grody. Pretty straightforward on this. Sammy Sosa deserves to be appreciated by the fan base that he made happy for all those years, coming up with big home run after big home run, whether it was you remembering him running onto the field with the flag, whether it was the big home runs with the hop and the skip and let's get around these bases. But also, understand this. He is serving a penance. Even though the Cubs have welcomed him back after a two-decade absence with open arms, he ain't going to Cooperstown. And that is the penance. So for the people out there who say he deserves to be punished, he was wrong for what he did, he's still being punished because 600-plus home runs will not get him into the Hall of Fame.
It's why everybody in this argument is correct. If you are somebody who does not like Sammy Sosa and is not into the vibes of today and you think he's a cheater and he shouldn't be honored here today, guess what? You're right. Because we're all adults here. Sammy Sosa definitely used performance-enhancing drugs. We all know that. And it is a big part of the why that the numbers got that gaudy. So you are absolutely right if you are done with Sammy Sosa. But on the other side, the reason I can handle it is because Sammy Sosa did his time. He did his baseball jail time. Like you said, he ain't getting into the Hall of Fame. His numbers have went down every single time he came up for potential election into the Hall of Fame. He has been blacked out by this organization up until the Cubs convention last year. So he has been punished and maybe to some degree embarrassed by like not just Major League Baseball, but by the Cubs organization because they pushed back on him. Tom Ricketts pushed back on him until they decided, I guess the Cubs have decided that now is the time he can come out of Cubs jail and now he is welcome back as a free man here at Wrigley Field.
I'm going to push back on the embarrassed part. I don't think Sammy Sosa's embarrassed. I think Sammy Sosa's like, yeah, I did my time, but I get what I want, which is to be welcomed back and maybe have his jersey retired, and I believe he'd be the first Cub to have their jersey retired without making
you
it into the Hall
of Fame. You don't think his pride was shot? Like, this is a proud man who can't even tell the truth about steroids and a lot of things.
That's the thing.
Because of his pride and because he was probably he'd be too embarrassed to admit, yeah, I needed help to hit all of those home runs.
Well, I think, yes, he might be a tad bit, quote-unquote, embarrassed, but he wasn't embarrassed enough to say, what I did was wrong, I shouldn't have done it. He said, I was just doing my best to help the team. Now, here's what we know about Sammy Sosa at Wrigley Field today. Bob Nightingale broke the news that Sosa would be here. The Cubs are having him here. We know Pete Crow Armstrong in his interview with David Hall, which if you didn't hear that, go back, use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Listen to that in full. It was at 9:30 on Mullion Hall this morning. Sammy will be at Wrigley Field today. He's already here. He will be getting a tour as this is his first time back since most of the renovations have been made. This is also in preparation for the Cubs Hall of Fame induction ceremony later in the summer. So he's going to be inducted into the Cubs Hall of Fame. He will address the media in the press box at some point prior to the game, and he's expected to join the Hall of Famer, an actual Hall of Famer, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer during the game on the radio broadcast right here on The Score and the Cubs Southwest Airlines Radio Network. So we have that. But we want to know what you think about this. 312-644-6767. Let's get it started. Let's go to Jim in Palatine. Jim, Sammy Sosa is in the building today. He has been let back into the Cubs and out of, as Mark Grody calls it, Cubs jail. What are your feelings, Jim?
I'm totally embarrassed as a Cubs fan. How low do you got to go? This guy's cheated. He lied. Even when they put him back in, brought him in earlier, he wouldn't admit. The Cubs overlooked it, but he still wouldn't admit what he did. He says, oh, I made some mistakes, but he didn't say he used his rights. And it's so darn obvious. And to put him in the Hall of Fame, he'll never get into baseball's Hall of Fame, but how embarrassing to bring him back. That is the way I feel as a Cubs fan. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it, but I can't say, believe I'm the only one that feels that way.
Jim, you're not the only one that feels that way. We appreciate your phone call. And, Mark, I think what you said might be the most accurate way to describe the situation from the overall point. If you feel one way, you're right. And if you feel the other way, you're also right.
Yeah.
Two things can be true.
Yeah.
I'm just of the belief that he's still going to be punished. So that's why I'm okay with an individual fan base, an individual ownership group saying, okay, it's been long enough. We're letting you back because we know that's what a portion, and I'm going to say it's the majority of the fan base wants.
I agree with you, especially, man. Like, this is what I think about always because I come at it from a perspective for the most part. For most of his career, Sammy's career, I was in the media. For some of Sammy Sosa's career, I was covering Sammy Sosa. Like, I was in that locker room. I was around Sammy Sosa's locker. I have experience with the boombox. But what I know and what I have to keep in mind is that people a lot younger than me, like people in the, I would say, in their 30s-ish, that wheelhouse, that were kids.
It's a different hit. That memory hits different, right?
It hits a lot differently. And while I'm sure that they read and listen to and understand and watched and know what happened with Sammy Sosa, but there's a part of them, too, that's like, yeah, it was bad. It sucked. You kept him away from here. Cubs had him in Cubs jail, like I said, for a long time. And now it is the same fans that, quite frankly, have been wanting to see Sammy Sosa probably for about the last 5 years. This is probably, the Cubs probably waited a little bit too long, I think, to do this, but it is happening, and I think that he has served his jail time.
I would say better longer than shorter because you want to make sure you set the tone. You're in charge. Sammy Sosa is not in charge. You are in charge as the owner of the Cubs, Mr. Ricketts, so I understand that. And I'm so glad we have Mark Grody on this program today because, as Mark said, he's been in that clubhouse. He's dealt with the boombox. He's seen Sammy Sosa. You covered the Cubs and so many other things between 2002 and 2010 and then covered, of course, the World Series run and that big run from 2015 to 2017. So you know intimately what was going on with Sammy Sosa, his teammates, the fan base, and their appreciation of all of that. We're going to get into more of that and more of your phone calls coming forward. Again, it's 312-644-6767. You can also hit us on the old text line, letting us know, 630 chimes in, Sammy was much watched TV and was a huge reason I love baseball. All these Saints that can't get over his mistakes must not have ever forgave anybody or made a mistake themselves. Let he who is not sinned cast the first stone. I believe that's the sentiment coming from that texter right there.
I think people's baseball abilities are insulted by it, especially when you have somebody like I'm staring at a statue right now of Ryan Sandberg, whose Hall of Fame speech, quite frankly, and I know like those two are cool now, but quite frankly, Ryan Sandberg's Hall of Fame speech was about dissing Sammy Sosa to some degree. I mean, the theme of it was that little red light that came on that Sammy Sosa was so interested in that rubbed players the wrong way. But we might be seeing And it is cool, man. This is a cool scene out here at Gallagher Way. We got fans in front of us playing bags. We got a group of fans over here to my left that are waiting to go in to do the tours. I like to see how things function. I mean, I did this for 3 years where I got here early and was inside the building. It's kind of cool to see how everything works this early outside of the building. But, yeah, it's a cool scene out here at Gallagher Way, and we're staring at three statues, Billy Williams, Ron Santo, and Ryan Sandberg out here.
Yep, we're live from Gallagher Way. Mark Grody along with Marshall Harris. Layla has the day off. More of your phone calls, your texts, your reactions. Sammy Sosa back in the building for game one of a three-game set with the Seattle Mariners. We'll talk more about it on the other side. You're listening to Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Jed's in charge. I'm going on a bender.
Jed Hoyer.
Jed Hoyer, man, what a story that is.
Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations.
You got to get better. And we should try to be building 90-win teams here. I mean, you know, like that's like what you have to do to, you know, that's playoff standard.
World Series champion general manager.
The key to this whole operation is going to be building that scouting and player development machine. The Cubs way.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer.
Should we count my no comments on this question? Yeah. See how many we get to in 6 months.
Jed Hoyer with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jed Hoyer is sponsored by the all-new Toyota on Edens in Northbrook. Visit toyotaonedens.com. It's our pleasure to bring in the president of baseball operations of the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer, here on The Score. Jed, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Things have been going really well for your team, even when they haven't had slug. How satisfying is that to see that your team is so well-rounded?
Yeah, no, it's been a good run for us. And, you know, obviously early in the season, we were scoring, you know, a ton of runs. And, you know, I think we have a really good offense, but some of those numbers were probably unsustainable. And you have to be able to win in a lot of different ways. And I feel like the last couple homestands, the wind has blown in a little bit against the Rockies, against the Pirates. And, you know, we've been able to win some games, you know, in different ways with pitching and defense. And that is gratifying because you're right. You can't just win one way. You have to be able to win a lot of ways. And we've sort of done both.
Talking to Ryan Brazier in the clubhouse the other day, guy was on the 2018 Red Sox and last year's Dodgers, who both won titles. He said he has not been on a team that fields it and runs the bases as well as this one. That's high praise.
No, it is. And it really is a credit to the coaches and the players. But our coaches are super well prepared. I think they're, you know, really taking advantage of little things the defense does. I thought like our double steal in the 10th inning was this really great preparation by the coaching staff the other day. And so we've been running the bases hard. And I think you need to on the days that the wind blows in. You have to be aggressive. And we've been more aggressive on those kind of days than on days we can slug. So that's great to hear. It is a really good defensive team. Obviously, the guys up the middle have just been fantastic. And having that, you know, defensive spine, so to speak, has really allowed us to play a lot of clean games.
Now that Craig is a year and a half in with the whole operation and kind of knowing how things work, what would you say has been his strength? And can you, as someone that's in charge of the baseball ops, see it more clearly now this season than maybe last season?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly more comfortable. You know, he changed the staff a little bit based on some of his recommendations. So I think it's the staff is more reflective of what he wants. I think that if you look at the way we're playing this year in terms of how we're running the bases and how we're playing defense, I think it's more reflective of what he wants. And so, yeah, I think certainly having him here for a full year, getting him a chance to see what we do and make some real recommendations that has really been helpful. So yeah, he's certainly more comfortable and I think, you know, as a result, you know, more effective. And I'd say in terms of his biggest strength, I mean, obviously he's incredibly bright and I think he makes great decisions in game and he's really well prepared, but I think his steadiness is really remarkable. It's hard to tell after games we won or lost is based on his reaction. He knows that, you know, this is a 162 game marathon. You have to, you know, be steady. And I think I can't imagine anyone more steady than him from on a day-to-day basis.
Has he affected the way that you think about managing a bullpen from a roster perspective during the course of the year, now that you guys are working together on that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is I feel total confidence that if we bring someone in, he's going to deploy them the right way. And he's willing to throw guys right in the fire, which I think is important that he trusts the guys down there. I think you've seen almost every guy in our bullpen pitch in a significant spot. You know, I remember when we acquired Drew Pomeranz, it was, you know, a small deal with Seattle, and, you know, he threw him kind of right in high leverage situations. And I think that the players feel that trust that he'll put him in big spots. And I think it means a lot for us that, you know, if we acquire somebody, you know, based on, you know, he's part of the process. He knows what the scouts say. He knows what the analytics are. And so he understands the player and he's willing to deploy those guys in the right spot right away.
Boy, that's interesting because that makes all the sense in the world. A guy who's done the job and is a part of that, because the roster churn and the role churn in the bullpen has seemed very aggressive and well done this year. Since April 19th, it's the best bullpen ERA in baseball. It's kind of amazing considering how it started.
Yeah, I mean, it is stabilized really well. And listen, bullpens, they're volatile. You know, there's ups and there's downs, but it's been an impressive run for these guys. They've been throwing strikes. They've been attacking guys. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to give those reinforcements, because I always say there's just sort of there's no completion. There's no finish line when it comes to a bullpen. That there's always going to be, you know, injuries, is always going to be volatility, and it's our job to try to keep finding guys. And, you know, the nice thing is, like I said, knowing that when we do find those guys, like, he'll be part of the process, and then he'll also deploy them the right way. I think that goes a long way towards having an effective bullpen.
Yeah, to speak on a couple of guys specifically in the bullpen, what was you guys' plan to get Ryan Pressly right? Because what he's done since being taken out of some of the high leverage situations has been impressive enough to end up back in the high leverage situations.
Yeah. Well, I'll give, you know, Tommy Hotovy and the pitching guys a lot of credit. You know, when he struggled against the Giants in that game, I feel like in some ways that was, I don't want to say coming, but it was something that it was led to by the fact that he was striking out at that point. I think it was like 7 or 8% of the batters he was facing, which is just too low to pitch late in the game. The ball was in play too much. And whenever the ball's in play that much, there's, you know, a lot of balls end up being hits. And so I feel like, you know, he wasn't striking out guys before that game. That game happened. I think, you know, give Ryan a lot of credit and our pitching guys credit. They sort of redoubled their efforts to figure out, you know, how to incorporate more swing and miss and get back closer to his career norms. And I think since that game, it's around 23% strikeout rate. So he's really improved significantly since then. And you're right. I think he's, give him credit for, you know, pitching well and earning his way back to pitching high leverage. He pitched 3 in a row the other day, all in big spots, and did a nice job. So he deserves a lot of credit for sticking with it and making real improvements.
We have been discussing as a show, Spiegs and I have been talking about Daniel Palencia, and he's four-seamer slider primarily. And we've both been like, is there a tertiary pitch? And should that pitch be a changeup because of how good his four-seamer is, or should it be like a splitty to go with it? When you see someone with that type of arm talent and he's being effective with two pitches, do you push for a third pitch, or do you let him come to you with the idea of a third pitch?
Yeah, he does have a split that he doesn't throw very often. I think, you know, he was a starting pitcher, you know, so he has the ability to throw, you know, different pitches. But ultimately, I think simplifying his attack plan has been the best way to sort of get him in the strike zone and get him consistent. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, he's throwing, you know, north of 100. He's throwing strikes, and I think sometimes that simple approach is enough, honestly. So yes, I think obviously you want to continue to refine, continue to improve. It would be great if he could get to a point of comfort where he would throw, you know, throw the splitter in some of those situations. But right now, I think the biggest focus is on, you know, he's throwing 100 and he's in the strike zone, we're going to be okay. And I think that's been the focus. And I think Daniel and the pitching guys have done a really good job of getting him there.
It's quite an origin story to how he became a Cub, and then now here he is closing games. It's kind of an example of how bullpens work in modern baseball, isn't it? It's a remarkable route for Palencia.
Oh, absolutely. And I give our pro scouts, our analysts a lot of credit. I mean, he was a guy we got, you know, for Andrew Chafin at the deadline, and it was kind of unheralded move. And, you know, he went to the minors and was a starter, and it is, you know, in some ways it's how it happens, right? The, you know, guy with this kind of arm talent probably wasn't quite consistent enough in some ways to be a starter, but you put him in a bullpen, and there were some ups and downs, but he stuck with it really well. Our guys have stuck with him, and it's fun to watch him have success right now.
It is. It's fun to see the success team-wide of what you guys have done, and we're getting close to the halfway mark. Do you feel like you know what this team's identity is?
I think the identity of this team, I think, is I think we play really clean baseball. And we have really good at bats, and I think that's the, you know, that's the most important thing, right? I think we're fourth in the league and lowest walk rate as a pitching staff. I think the ball, we don't have a huge swing and miss staff. We generally throw strikes. The ball's in play. Our guys, we have really good defenders. And I think we run the bases hard, and I think, you know, the at-bat quality has been good. So I'm mostly impressed with the consistency of the group in terms of showing up prepared to play night after night. You know, you're going to have your ups and downs, but it's not going to be because of preparation. They're going to come trying to play a clean game that night defensively and trying to have good at-bats. And I think we've done that remarkably well, and I think that does start with Craig.
We are talking to Jed Hoyer right here on the Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. Are you upset with your former employee and friend, well, I don't know if he's a former friend, Craig Breslow, for making the Giants better in the National League playoff race? Because, boy, they seem to be kind of a beast now with that Devers kid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, you know, I know Brez incredibly well. I know Buster a little bit. I think both guys are really competitive. I think both guys feel like they made the organization better with that move. And I think both things can be completely true. But yeah, certainly the National League, you know, this continues to get more and more depth and more good players. And that's just what we have to contend with. But I do think that, you know, like I said, I know Brez felt, incredible conviction that that was the right move to make them better. I think he's really competitive. He wants to win. I think he feels like this is the best avenue to that. And I think that makes a lot of sense for them to do that.
He had some really thoughtful humility yesterday on the record about learning from the Devers situation on the personal level about like how to communicate with players and that kind of thing. I bet you could relate on a human level to that stuff.
It's hard. I think that, obviously he hasn't been there for a long time. I feel like one of the advantages, I think, of being in a place for a long time is, you not only could we acquire these players, but we've watched a lot of these players develop and grow up. And so you build those relationships, and those are easier when you're here for a long time. When you just get to a place and people are established, I think that's a little bit harder to do. So, I think Brez is pretty incredible executive and incredible mind, and he's going to be really good at his job for a long time. But it's good to hear that, he's still learning. And I think that, this was a very complicated situation in a lot of ways and not an easy one to deal with.
So what are the chances that they end up better, kind of like the Nomar trade in 2004, Jet?
Well, I think that was the calculus, obviously. I think whether that happens all in 2025 or in the future, they've got a really good young core of players. I feel like that there's definitely an organization with the arrow up. And I think that was the calculus for them is that, obviously I think they feel like they can still compete this year, but I think, obviously they felt like they can redeploy that money and that position really well going forward. And like I said, they've got a ton of young talent. So I think that they're definitely an organization that's in a really healthy place.
It worked for you and Theo in 04 is all I'm saying, So why not?
Yeah, no, listen, that was, I give Theo all the credit in the world. That was such an unbelievably unpopular decision. And they have told the story a lot of times. I remember, I think I was pretty naive. We just felt like it was the right baseball decision. Our defense was terrible and we needed to improve our defense. And my naivete, that's sort of how I viewed it. And, we made the trade and then, all of a sudden, like the ramifications of you just traded away this iconic player in Boston and Theo had to wear that. And I remember watching him go through it and seeing just how lonely it was to wear it, during that period. And it took us like 2 weeks to really to start to play well. The first 2 weeks of August, we still kind of muddled around, and then finally in mid-August we took off and never looked back. But it was the right decision. And frankly, I've said this a number of times that that deal today would be like, yeah, of course you did that, because our defense was really poor and we needed to improve our defense. And but back then, with defensive numbers being like really rudimentary, people didn't view it that way at all. And so it's funny to look at it through the lens of now, which that deal is pretty logical. But back then it was really radical and no one wanted to hear about how you just improved the defense.
Well, Jed, what's that anxiety like for an executive when you make a move and you're like, look, we need this move maybe to work out for us right now versus down the road? When those types of situations comes up, how much antacid are you taking?
I mean, I've said this a lot. I think that the deals that I've made that I had the most conviction on, I think that, ultimately, the trading the core in 2021, it was brutally hard. And I was obviously here when we won the World Series. I know how much those players meant to the organization. I also felt incredible conviction that we needed to move forward. And we needed to acquire some young talent for the organization. So, I had the conviction to do it, but it didn't mean that the backlash wasn't difficult. There's a lot of really difficult days after those trades. And that's something that's the job, right? You have to make these hard decisions. And I think Brez felt really convicted that he had to make this decision. And like I said, I give him a ton of credit. I look at it the same way when I look at Nico Harrison with the Mavericks. Whether or not he made the right or wrong decision, that's not for me to argue. But having the strength to make the decision and believe in it, I think that to me is really impressive, because you're going to face a tremendous backlash. And ultimately, I know he believed he was doing the right thing for the Mavericks, and I think that takes a lot of strength.
To go back to specifically the Devers deal, you guys had to do something, I guess, similar, not the same, where with Saya, you had to say, look, we're getting Kyle Tucker, and we probably need you to play a little bit more DH than you'd like to. How difficult was that conversation, and how happy are you that it's worked out seemingly for everybody?
Yeah, well, Matt, you know, I think that helped knowing the player. Like, you know, we brought Saya in. We had Craig and I got on the phone with him. You know, we had Zooms with him in Japan to talk about it and to make it clear. And I think that because we had the relationship, I think that was something that we were able to do. And I think it's worked out really well. And he is playing. I think we're trying to get Kyle and Ian off their feet and give Saya days in the outfield, and he's done a great job with it, and he's having a great year. But I do think we benefited from having the relationship, but we were very straightforward and very transparent about the situation, and I think Saya handled it really well.
Do you think a deal like the Devers one could jumpstart the market? What does it feel like in terms of the time frame of the trade market for this season now?
Probably a one-off deal. I don't think it jumpstarts the market, but I think, you know, there's, as you start to get into this time of year, there's more conversations that are happening, and it just sort of keeps ramping up. And usually there's a lot of talk around the draft. People in this industry generally talk around the draft anyway. So that there's always a lot of chatter around draft time. And then really right after, I mean, it's almost like as the draft ends, I feel like that really kicks into gear, and that's sort of how it's worked the last few years.
You guys made the Samardzija and Hamill for Addison Russell trade on the 4th of July, made the Jose Quintana acquisition on the 13th of July. So you've got some experience with early moves. Does this team and this situation warrant you thinking on the earlier side?
Yeah, I know if deals are there and transactions are there, I think certainly you're right. I mean, every turn through the rotation or every outing that you get extra out of a player adds value. So it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, when we were on the sell side, we were very aware of that. You mentioned a few of those deals. I think that the deal that we traded Matt Garza like 2 or 3 weeks before the deadline as well. We were pretty aware of that. And we felt like we could always get a little bit extra value out of teams if we were willing to act early. And sometimes, you know, some of the sellers haven't declared themselves. So if you're a seller it was clear that we were sellers, it made sense to kind of jump the market rather than wait for the market to get flooded as we got closer to the deadline. So we were pretty aware of that as a seller. And, you know, I think as a buyer, certainly it makes sense that if the prices aren't, you know, prohibitive, it makes sense to make an earlier deal rather than a later deal.
If you talk to pretty much any baseball executive this time of year, they're going to say, we need more pitching. And they're not going to be wrong. Everyone needs pitching and could use a little bit more. And I know that you've gone on the record and talked about that too, that's something that you might be looking for inside of a trade market. That being said, the moves that you guys have already made, and considering that Justin Steele has been down and Shota has been down for a big portion of the season, when you look at the way that your rotation has reacted to this, does it change your mind at all? Or do you say, like, let's continue to bolster them?
I think they're separate things. Like, I'm super proud of the way this rotation has pitched. I mean, I think you're, you know, our two highest projected pitchers, you know, one's been out for the year, the other's been out since really like around May 4th. And they've responded really well. You know, Talion's been terrific and Boyd's been terrific. And, you know, Cade has come up and pitched well. And, you know, I think, you know, Ben's had been a little bit up and down, and Colin has been really steady. And I give those guys so much credit for that. But all that said, I just think that, you know, the way the game is played now, you've got to just continue to add pitching when you can. So yeah, there's a reason that all these teams are saying they need pitching, is because I think everyone has the sense that you can't have enough depth. And also the rules have changed, right? Where you can't make the waiver deals you used to be able to make in August. And so you're a little bit more shut once the deadline passes on July 31st, and that's your, like, those are your pitchers. You can't go out in the same way you used to be able to do that in August and find somebody. So, yeah, you have to acquire as much depth as you can, and I think we'll be certainly looking for that.
What's the latest on Shota?
He's going to pitch later this week for Iowa. and then we'll sort of reevaluate. But he's made two rehab starts for in Arizona. He threw four innings on the 14th. I think he threw 44 pitches and then threw a bunch in the bullpen. So no, he's on track, and like I said, he'll pitch for Iowa later this week, and then we'll kind of reevaluate.
Not that you guys would rush him, but does it help to not rush him because you guys have been so good?
We haven't rushed him. We want to make sure we get him right and get him healthy. And I'm excited to get him back. I think not only is he really good, but he also provides innings that are super valuable. And in today's game, when you can get 6 or 7 innings out of your starter, it helps rest your bullpen. And so, I think that's been something that I think our guys have done a better job of that lately. But we had a stretch where our guys are kind of going 5 innings, and that makes it really hard to get 12 outs a night out of your bullpen. And, we're excited to get Shota back, but, we haven't rushed him. And ultimately, I think we'll be better for that.
All right, just be honest. Last thing, Jed. Has anybody sent to you, or have you seen Jim Bowden's ridiculous trade proposal from the Cubs for Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins? Have you seen this one yet today?
I don't read that stuff.
It's not what I asked. Did anybody send it to you yet?
No.
Would you like to know? Would you like to know what Jim has proposed? All right, thank you. Here it comes. Right-handed pitcher Cade Horton, outfielder Owen Casey, outfielder Kevin Alcantara, and shortstop Ronnie Cruz. All four of those guys for Sandy Alcantara. What's he smoking?
I think the trade deadline is sort of like the NFL draft in the sense it almost becomes its own industry.
Yep.
I know that a lot of people have opinions about what people should do. And I think it's fun. I like the fact that people are always talking about the trade deadline, but ultimately I don't read that stuff for a reason.
All right, we have a canned answer that we've saved. Tanny, you have this, right? So we'll just say, if the Marlins called and asked, here's what Jed would say.
No.
So that, yeah, that's just you saying no. We're just going to use that.
I love it. I love it.
Jed, tomorrow, my partner, Matt Spiegel, is singing the national anthem at the game.
God. Unbelievable.
Yep. Can't wait to hear the rest of this.
He literally is going to sing the national anthem tomorrow.
Singing the anthem tomorrow night at your place.
Is he gonna sing live? Is it pre-recorded? That's what I want to know.
No, it's live. It's live. Yeah, I got a guitar player. He's going to do his Jimi Hendrix thing, and I'll do my Whitney Houston thing, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle tomorrow night.
Oh man, I can't wait. I'm going to be out there for that.
Yes, you have to. Go down there and heckle them. Because that's what we love, is heckling the anthem.
Yeah, then you can call the radio station and critique me like I've critiqued you through the years.
I think that's your chance. Fair.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's funny. We always talk about that with the seventh inning stretch singers. It's like, oh, God, that was a bad one. And I'm like, who am I to criticize? I'd be terrible. So I feel like I'm going to – like the fact that you're willing to sing in front of 36,000 to 38,000 people, I give you all the credit in the world, and I will, I will hold my critiques.
Well, we appreciate it.
Let me tell you that.
So if they asked you, you wouldn't do it?
Do the anthem?
Yeah.
Oh God, I feel like I'd be like trampling on the flag if I sang that. That would be terrible. Yeah, I know. I think you have to know your strengths and weaknesses, and I would never do that.
All right. So wait, what about the stretch?
You do the stretch.
I do a stretch. I probably bring people with me though to make sure that like I was drowned out.
Yeah.
Here's what I
might make that deal for Alcantara.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking, Speaks. Next year, 10th anniversary of the World Series team.
Jed
the
stretch.
Theo, Rizzo, whoever goes up there and sings the stretch.
It's up to him.
Hey, it's not my department, but yeah, certainly. I've never done it. It'd be a life experience, that's for sure. And like I said, I'm always wary when I criticize other people because you gotta know yourself. It can't be easy.
It cannot be. Jed, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
Who is calling on our score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
It's, look, we've just been excellent down there. Guys have just, they've just not given up runs. And I think it also means that they're getting their outs. Somebody's not getting up. They're getting more rest. They're getting the best, hopefully, matchups for themselves and for the next guy. And all that carries over. And I think it has an effect. And it's a credit to them. They're working as a unit. And I think we've got a unit right now that's working really well together.
Craig Council talking about things working very, very well as far as the bullpen is concerned for the Chicago Cubs. They have been phenomenal over the last month plus. Raheemy and Harris continue with Mark Grody in. Layla has the day off. Happy Juneteenth to all of those who are celebrating today and hopefully enjoying your day off. Beautiful weather outside. And beautiful enough that we know that the Cubs are scheduled to play baseball and we're not worried about it tonight.
That's right.
The Cubs scheduled to take on the Brewers. Game two again. Freddy Peralta will make the start, not Jacob Mizorowski as originally scheduled. He'll go up against Jameson Taillon against this in this game that is coming up later today. Right here on 670 The Score. They wrap up the series against the Brewers. It's a two-game set. That other game from last night has been rescheduled for August 18th as part of a split doubleheader. You can catch pregame coverage at 12:45 right here on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. But the bullpen, man. The bullpen, man. I just have to say, for an area of a baseball team that has been so shaky to downright bad for so long, what Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell have been able to do in building it and utilizing it has been nothing short of amazing when you consider that Caleb Philbar, who was a December 31st signing, 17 straight scoreless outings. Ryan Pressly, who of course came over in the trade, gave up 9 runs, 8 of them earned against the San Francisco Giants. Has not given up a run since. He's figured it out. But more than that, my favorite one is Drew Pomeranz. Because Drew Pomeranz has an ERA of 0. On April 21st, they purchased him from the Mariners. The Mariners are like, yeah, we don't need you. And Craig Counsell saw something, knew something, had worked with him before. And the way he has been utilized, whether it's an opener, whether it's high leverage at the back of the bullpen, this man has the longest active streak of scoreless appearances now at 20. And the job that they've done, Grody, has been phenomenal and is a big reason why the Cubs are where they are right now.
I think Pomeranz is like symbolic of Craig Counsell. And what he has, like, we know that he was probably in the ear of Jed Hoyer on Drew Pomeranz. And I'm not saying, like, we're going to be seeing this from him at the end of the season. I don't even know if he's still there at the end of the season. Who knows with the volatility of bullpens. But Craig Counsell, officially now, a year and a half, essentially, into his work with the Cubs, it is right now that he has the team that he needs and wants and can press the buttons that he wants to press with and work his magic. Because he spent all of last year trying to figure that out and obviously had two relievers bottom out pretty quickly. It was really Alzolay more than Hector Neris at the beginning of last season. So it was almost like from the beginning the season was sabotaged from a bullpen perspective. But gradually throughout this year, after the Ryan Pressly slump early this year felt awful. I remember feeling awful about it because it felt, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. We went out and you get this closer and he's failing already. But they have recovered from that. The revelation that has been, or the development of, I should just say, Daniel Palencia getting to where he is. Caleb Thielbar has been fantastic as well. And then now you've got, and you mentioned him, you've got Ryan Pressly doing what he is doing again. He got into the ninth inning last week. And how about all these, look, it's the Pirates, I get it. But those were all one-run games, of which you won 3 of them, multiple games in which the bullpen had to hold either a tie or one-run lead for multiple innings. So that was a fabulous series for the bullpen, and it's nice to be able to. That's why I'm going on so long here right now, because it's so nice to be able to talk about good bullpen, because it feels like it's just something we bitch about as sports talk show hosts.
No. Let your thoughts out, because Jed Hoyer certainly did when he was on with Spiegel and Holmes
talking about his trust level with Craig Counsell and this bullpen so far?
I think the biggest thing is I feel total confidence that if we bring someone in, he's going to deploy them the right way. And he's willing to throw guys right in the fire, which I think is important that he trusts the guys down there. I think you've seen almost every guy in our bullpen pitch in a significant spot. You know, I remember when we acquired Drew Pomeranz, it was, you know, a small deal with Seattle, and, you know, he threw him kind of right in high leverage situations. And I think that the players feel that trust, that he'll put him in big spots. And I think it means a lot for us that, you know, if we acquire somebody, you know, based on, you know, he's part of the process, he knows what the scouts say, he knows what the analytics are. And so he understands the player and he's willing to deploy those guys in the right spot right away.
So there's the explanation there in terms of what he's seen from Craig Counsell, but the Drew Pomeranz as an example is a beautiful one. But I just want to go over, like, who's down there right now when you talk about what's going on with the Cubs. Because we know at the back end of the bullpen, it's Daniel Palencia and his 1.67 ERA and his 29 strikeouts and 27 innings pitched. It's Brad Keller, who's been in that closer role. Now he's not back to that, but he has been in high leverage situations since. And he's been able to lower his ERA all the way down to, what, 2.10. Ryan Pressly, who was the closer originally, 3.54 ERA despite that big bad outing that he had. Caleb Thielbar, 1.69 ERA. Porter Hodges isn't even back yet.
No.
And he's probably going to be back in the next week or so if everything goes well in Iowa. And he was the guy for a minute, and you felt good about that because of what he was bringing to the table. And you go on down the list. Even when you say Colin Ray's got to go into the starting rotation, right? And you bring in Chris Flexen. Chris Flexen's appeared in 11 games. How many runs has he given up this season?
I bet zero.
Zero would be the answer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Pomeranz that we talked about. And, you know, everything hasn't worked out, but they've been the hook has been quick. It has been showtime at the Apollo quick. See Julian Merriweather.
Yes, that's such a great... Remember Julian Merriweather? Wow. That definitely feels like a thing of the past, like something that never really happened. But yeah, that just like Brandon Morrow. Did Brandon Morrow ever happen? Yeah, it happened, but it didn't really happen. And that's Julian Merriweather, except for about a half of a season in his Cubs existence.
Oh, we got big news coming up.
Oh, really?
For all the Pete Crow Armstrong fans
Uh-oh.
That want to hear more from Pete Crow Armstrong,
yes,
tune in.
And?
Tomorrow.
And?
9:30 a.m.
And?
Right here on The Score. David Haw will have him, and they're going to be talking the talk.
Is this Haw? What a great couple of days coming up for David Haw. Is this Haw is going to have PCA on tomorrow? Is this Haw is going into the Hoosier Indiana Hall of Fame? Man, that's not nothing.
According
he's
to Robbie,
an Indiana boy,
that's not nothing.
According to Robbie, I'm sure he's looking at this like, oh, David Haw is going to talk to a Hall of Famer before he goes into a Hall of Fame.
That's exactly.
That's
pretty much it right there.
312-644-6767. What's the PCA statue going to look like?
You know, people think I'm crazy for giving the Cubs the division today. I mean, that's really the hot take right there. Do you know baseball? I don't think you do.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.